Hi, this is Jamar Wakefield, producer of the Bright Moments podcast. For more than 40 years, Dorothon Kirk has been a major force at WBGO, Newark Public Radio, and she has the stories to prove it. Stories about her husband, Rahsaan Roland Kirk, her love of jazz, and her community, Newark, New Jersey. I'm so thankful that her stories will now be shared with the world. Each episode is based on a memory and a photograph that Dorothon Kirk considers to be a bright moment. Dorothon Kirk and I are here at 54 Wayne Shorter Way in the WBGO studios. We're looking at a very large poster for a New Year's Eve celebration featuring the late Lou Rawls and the now late Marlena Shaw. The date, December 31st, 1992. The place, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. And the people, well, let's just say anybody who was anybody was in that room that night, all dressed to the nines and ready to dance their way into 1993. The event and the performances were broadcast live, nationwide, and also served as a fundraiser for Newark Public Radio. This series was sponsored by Cognac Hennessy, and it was a beautiful partnership that lasted a decade and had its humble beginnings right here in the WBGO Performance Studio. With the help of on-air host Gary Walker, who emceed that night, and Marlena Shaw, DK takes us back to that magical night in 1992.
The New Year's Eve Cognac Hennessy events had three parts, if you will. The very first part was a sit-down dinner. And if I remember correctly, that ticket price was $250. So some people came to both parts, but some people only came to the dinner portion,
right,
and some people only came to the performance. So at the dinner portion, you would have a full course meal and generally a solo pianist. So the dinner guests had to be assigned seats twice because dinner was in one room.
Oh.
Okay. This was a ritual. I sat with Carolyn McLear, our PR consultant, literally until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning at her apartment in New York, seating people. That's an awesome chore. So what we had to do with the dinner people, we had to reassign them seats in the big ballroom because they were now going to join the people that had only bought the performance ticket.
To bring them together.
And where it really got tedious, the dinner people all thought that they should have the prime seats in the ballroom.
Right. And they're like, who are these people?
So it was always tedious trying to please everybody.
Right.
But somehow it worked out. And even though the performance part, which I will get to, the first part of it was generally you just stay seated because, and I don't remember how we came up with this concept, but the performance part was always a vocalist and his or her group.
Okay.
And then the last part would be a big band and dancing. So for the vocalist and her group, people would primarily sit. And then when the big band came on, everybody would be dancing. And I guess the event started, it's on the poster, I guess it's 7 or 8 o'clock, and it went on until 2 o'clock.
I love to hear that there was dancing. I don't see a lot of dancing at jazz events.
No.
I don't. I wish there was.
You know, because the music is carried on by the upcoming performance. It's not as danceable these days as it once was. But anyhow, back to the New Year's Eve Cognac Hennessy. Cognac Hennessy sponsored those events for 10 years, which was a record for any sponsor to stay with any organization such as WBGO, where this young lady named Linda Matula came to WBGO, and she had worked in the corporate world prior to, and so it was her responsibility to get funding of different types for WBGO.
Okay.
So it was determined that she would seek a sponsor for live New Year's Eve in New York, and we would produce this big event. Linda got to work, and really fortunate for us, one of the first companies she asked was Cognac Hennessy, and they said yes.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't swear to this, but I think the reason liquor companies so long ago, liquor and cigarette companies,
I was gonna ask you
so long ago sponsored jazz because it was so connected to jazz, and they knew they would reach a large number.
In terms of the culture and clubs and nightlife.
Exactly. So they said yes, and our very first one was the Vista Hotel, that I have no idea who will remember that, but there was the Vista Hotel at the World Trade Center. I think later on it became the Marriott because there was a jazz convention there. But anyhow, our very first one was Carmen McRae was our vocalist with her trio, and the Thad Jones, Mel Lewis Big Band. That was the very first one. I do not know why the next year we didn't return there, but I remember we did one from Windows on the World, and it went really great. I think that one was with Ruth Brown and Stanley Turrentine. No. At the time, Ruth Brown was in Black and Blue on Broadway. And I remember myself and Anna Kossoff going to see her there. And we were backstage in the green room or whatever they call it in the theater. And we personally asked her to do it.
Until this real cheap guy walked in one day, saw this chair he wanted to buy, but wouldn't claim the price was too high. So I looked him straight in his eye, and this was my reply. If I can't sell it, I'm gonna keep sitting on it. I ain't gonna give it away.
She was a friend of WBGO, and much like Ernestine Anderson and some of the others, especially Abby, they became really friends of mine, as opposed to some of the musicians, the artists. I know them, but they aren't like friends where you call each other on the telephone and you talk about whatever, nothing to do with the music. Anyhow, we went to different venues in New York. And as I said before, the Waldorf Astoria, if I remember correctly, it just wasn't large enough, or it didn't accommodate us. So there came
What was the draw to go there in the first place? Was it the name? Was it a connection?
I think it was the artist and WBGO.
Okay.
Because at this one, Charlie Rangel bought a table of
really?
10
Love that.
To this one. And there were some other prominent people. Gary and I were talking about this.
Gary, welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so many places during my life, but I'll tell you, there are a few of them that really stand out. And it was New Year's Eve, 1992. And let me tell you, I'm the kind of guy, I work in public radio. So the chances of me ever getting a room at the Waldorf Astoria, pretty slim. But that night, we had the big room because it was a WBGO New Year's Eve celebration sponsored by Cognac Hennessy, whose dedication to jazz went almost a decade, I want to say. In fact, they did a national jazz search every year, of which Grover Washington Jr. was one of the judges, and I was the host
really?
For the New York part of that. And our late, great Michael Bourne wrote a newsletter, a jazz newsletter for Cognac Hennessy that came out every month. So their dedication was long form, man. Nothing short form about it.
Right.
But when we walked into that hotel, we immediately turned it into the Waldorf Hysteria. And why was that? Because we had the indefatigable Marlena Shaw, who is one of the premier storytellers, going all the way back to her 1970s Blue Note recording. Who is this bitch anyway? Live at Vine Street, where her rendition of Go Away, Little Boy is a must listen for anybody that wants to hear a musical story in its highest form. I was the MC that night, and it was a nationwide broadcast that went nationwide. And we were excited. We couldn't have been more excited. And just the presence of somebody like Marlena Shaw in the room made it so much more exciting. But when we looked out into the crowd, and there were tables and people had elegant dinners and tuxedos abounding and all that kind of thing. But at one table was Congressman Charles Rangel. And at his table was Percy Sutton. And for those of you that don't know Percy Sutton, the founder of Infinity Broadcasting, the home of WBLS, and also responsible in large part for the renovation and the restoration of the Apollo Theater. So, you know, pretty heavyweight cat there. But also at the table was the actress Jacque, who was part of a hit television series at that time. And also, I'm just getting ready to go on stage, and in the door walks Chaka Khan and sits down at Congressman Charles Rangel's table. I thought, this is going to be a good night.
you got to say it twice. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
That's right. And Lou Rawls hadn't even come on stage yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sitting there, and I do this introduction of Marlena Shaw, and she loved it so much that when she returned to the Blue Note some 6 months later for an extended stay, she requested that I come down and introduce her.
Oh my goodness.
And I said, I can't come down every night, but I'll come down one night and do an introduction. Just a fantastic lady. And also did some, what do I want to say? When we were at the Cape May Festival, we spent an afternoon going through all these little tchotchke shops in Cape May, looking at little things and stuff. And Marlena would just look and go, honey, that's just more to dust. That's just more to dust. And she'd leave it all on the counter, but she liked to look. And she liked to talk, too. And talk in the form of telling a musical story like nobody else. And, oh, she raised the roof. And then, hey, buddy, as he liked to say, Lou Rawls took to that stage. And when the smoke cleared, they were still trying to replace the H that we'd put outside on Hysteria and change the venue back to Astoria.
I love that.
It took them a while, though. but we used to do that on a regular basis. And it's interesting, but that event and those stories from that one night, New Year's Eve, in 1992, is just part of the reason why at WBGO, these walls do talk.
I'm me, oh my, I said I'm loving you, baby. I said I'm loving you, baby. I ain't crazy, all I really wanna be. Ooh. All I really ever want to do is hang out on the street where you live.
Marlena Shaw.
It was a wonderful event, you know. Actually, my husband was with me also, and I remember Chaka Khan. I don't know whether she thought he was a waiter or what, but she had asked him to get her a drink. I said, hey. Now, the only other thing I would do when I was on the road, of course, is visit WBGO. We used to have such fun over there because of the people. The jacks, et cetera, you know.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you, folks love to, folks love to say your name out loud, and travel back in time in their memories, and it's been a pleasure for me to.
And I think that's beautiful. I really think that's so nice that people have good memories of you. You know,
These
events were fundraisers. Remember, every ticket that we sold went to WBGO. Why? Because we made sure the money Cognac Hennessy gave us took care of all the costs for the event. So we went from hotel to hotel. So it might have been our first year. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was the first year at the Grand Hyatt when we had Lionel Hampton and Nina Simone. But we started, once we started there, we continued there because it worked for us perfectly.
Right.
The price was right. Because the way you negotiate with these hotels, they give you a price per person. And what we did is we built in a profit on top of that from each individual. So that's how.
It's smart, though.
That's how. Yes. Yes. You know,
you don't get any money if you spend all the money you have in the event. Right?
Exactly. So that's how we started having the events at the Grand Hyatt. As I said, Nina Simone and Lionel Hampton, they were, and I guess I didn't know it until they look back. All of them from there were special because, but they were really, really, really special. And I guess I was too naive to know exactly what I had walked into with Nina Simone and Niall Hampton on the same bill, because by then, he had started to age and so on and so forth. And even though he didn't have health issues, and he did have good people around him. But Nina was living in Paris at the time. And the last time she had come to the United States, she wasn't all that well with her mental issues. And she didn't perform. She got on a plane for whatever reason, I don't know, and turned around and went back to Paris. So even asking her was risky. But the bottom line is, it turned out absolutely beautiful. She couldn't have been any more perfect. It sold out. WBGO made money, and a great time was had by all.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
I'm going to try and remember some other combinations that we had. I do know we had Kevin Mahogany 1 year, and as our vocalist, and Illinois Jacquette's big band was the dancing part. We had Frank Foster's big band 1 year, and I believe Ernestine Anderson and her group were the vocalist group. We had Ernie Andrews, who never, ever, ever received the accolades in New York or the East Coast that he probably should have based on his talent. And I became very, very close to Ernie, because before we had him, New Year's Eve, he had done some other things here. And he told me a lot of stories about the business and how it worked and so on and so forth. And I kept up with him over the years until just shortly before he died. I believe Jimmy Heath's big band was the big band that we had with him. So again, those events went on for 10 years, sponsored by Cognac Hennessy, and they were phenomenal.
The Bright Moments podcast is a production of WBGO Studios. Special thanks to Dorthon Kirk. It's been my pleasure to spend so many hours in the studio with you, listening to these stories. This podcast is executive produced by Billy Robinson, hosted and produced by me, Jamara Wakefield.